Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got smooth.
Drama. Smooth Drama.
All right, all right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. I'm joined by my main man, my big brother, Mr. J. And out of the blue, from out of no damn where,
out of the pink.
Whoa. Yeah, Drama's back. Y'all want to holler at us? 347-826-7435 is the call in number. Once again, that call in number is 347-826-7435. And of course, tonight, I got my homegirl, my cousin, on the low, my cousin. Out of the great state of Indiana, representing Indianapolis at its finest, Imani Wisdom. She'll be on in the second segment, so y'all be looking for that. And of course, I know call in number 347-826-7435 might be too much for you. You want to email us,
smoothdrama.com.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, well, wait a minute.
Say something.
Well, see, I'm not going to say what you want me to say, but I'm just going to give a big shout-out to Mr. Curry and the Golden State Warriors for a good job. They took down LeBron and the Cavs tonight, 4-2. Big shout-out. You know, just wanted to get it out the way. And just remember on that email, smoothdrama.com, and that's where y'all can send those pictures, and you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so it's back to you.
Ew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Ms. Drama. Why you been gone? Mr. J has been promoting that those shots.
Nice.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, for the fellas out there, if y'all want, you want to email Ms. Drama all your
banana Haskett shots. That's what they call them. Isn't that what they call them? Banana Haskett shots?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I want to say one thing, because this is my first time on with her. You know, fellas, I checked out her page, and yep, I'm just going to say yes, sir. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, my goodness. That
yes,
only
sir.
Leads to worse stuff.
It's official. She's official, y'all.
Okay, moving right along.
Oh, see, now she want to play coy, but go ahead.
You shot drama. That where we at. I mean, you was on the air a while back talking about how you do the show naked anyway, so.
I mean,
oh, you didn't tell
me
about that.
How much of me it was. They didn't know what I had. I could be, you know, out there. You know, I couldn't be blessed. But whatever. It's whatever.
All right.
Well, Ms. Drama, are you doing the show, you know, in your birthday suit?
I'm halfway there.
Which half?
You know, it's comfortable, the bottom.
Oh,
it's
Lord.
It's comfortable, though, you know. I'm comfortable.
Okay. Fellas, you know, 347-826-7435.
All right.
What you got for us tonight, Smooth?
Well, you know, of course, we always start off with the things that crazy people do. And the first one is about the man who shot himself in the foot so he can see how it felt.
Okay, I get
it hurt.
That.
Oh, you hear that?
I mean, I get it. You know, he's emotionally disturbed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where was this at?
It's in Colorado. I'm thinking maybe he smoked something and was like, you know what? If I could shoot myself and see how it feels when I'm high.
I mean, is that equivalent to like cutting yourself, shooting yourself, or no?
I don't know.
My thing is, okay, you know where I'm going with this drama. You know me, Smooth. You know where I'm going. It's like, where do you, I mean, do you just like wake up one day and say, you know what? I only really need 1 foot, so let me just take this gun and see if it'll hurt. You know, and I guarantee you, he wasn't on any drugs. He just, he's one of those dudes that you turn on, like, YouTube, and you see, like, you know, you find some crazy video. He's one of those guys.
I mean, but if it's like a little 22, a little 38, it's not going to do that much. A 22? My granny used to carry a 22. That's
have
not
you ever been?
Do.
Have you ever been shot?
I have not.
Okay, so any, I mean.
Okay, but I know that there is a clear difference between a 22 and, let's say, a 40 cal. Or, you know what I'm saying, a shotgun.
Damn,
you,
she
talks, you know
she know the difference. Okay, okay, granted, you're right. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter if it's a 22 or a 25 or a 40 or 44 mag or whatever. Pain is pain.
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You just
and it don't matter if you get shot. Well, yeah, I guess there's different, you know, like if you get shot in your foot as opposed to getting shot in the chest. But still, that's pain. My point
is, still, he
could have
bled out. You can bleed out from your foot easiest because, you know, that's where your blood circulates back up at. So he could have been
wrong. But so the bigger question is, what would make you wonder what it feels like?
Well, my question is this, Ms. Drama. How do you know all this stuff? Was you a torturer when you was in the military, or is that classified?
I'm from the country. It's only butt guns, you know.
She down there from where they go.
Everyone
if you hungry, if you hungry, you go in your backyard and you shoot something.
Hey, you're not gonna be hungry first of all, cause you already got it.
Anyway,
so move on.
Gee. She even took it somewhere and just went down the street with it. Okay.
Exactly. So now there's another crazy man in Texas who broke his leg. Well, got his leg broke trying to have sex with a horse. Apparently, it's something that he's done a few times. And I guess the horse caught him out there. Like, you know what?
Aww.
It is crack.
Wow.
Why are we even discussing bestiality? I mean, really?
Because it's the thing.
Hey, that happens. That people do that all the time. It's more
no.
out there than you think.
Okay. And you know what? Because I was going to take a break tonight. I wasn't going to be that guy, but I'm going to go there. This is some shit white folks do.
I see. That's where you'd be wrong.
This wasn't
you,
no brother. This was not a brother.
Hold on. This is Cirilo Castillo.
Okay,
oh,
Spanish. Spanish.
Now, that's close. That's close.
It's close enough.
That's close.
Hey, there's
close.
A white guy somewhere like, bro, don't be stereotyping me, bro.
That's real
well,
because
I'm sure,
white
I'm
people
sure
do it too. Asian,
but you don't. But even if we do it, which I'm probably, you know, I'm certain there's probably a few of us out there that are that damn sick. You would never hear about it because we ain't going to put it out there like that.
Well, he got his leg broke. He couldn't.
And what, when he went to the hospital, he had to explain how he got his leg broke? I would have just said the horse stopped me.
He's on the farm or wherever the hell. You
he probably was caught with his pants down, like, why your dick out? Well, you know, when the emergency people came, you know, he probably didn't have time to put, you know, he was hurting.
See,
somebody knew he was fucking that
that's
horse.
Why I don't live on a farm. You just got too much you got too much time on your hands.
You said he had his dick out.
Yes. I bet you.
Oh, I know people are like, okay, I'm going to bed now. This is too much. But wait, it gets better. But you know what? No, in all honesty, I mean, well, you know, just backing up a bit, there was something, you know, online on one of these websites about a cop who, you know, basically was brought up, you know, he was out there trying to handle his business with animals. So I'm not sure if it's the same guy you're talking about, but yeah.
Well, this dude was not a cop, so, yeah.
I mean, you know, just all you got to do is it's a lot of that going on.
Okay, but all right, just to stray off, just to deflect for a moment.
Yeah, we going to move.
Wait a minute, Ms. Drama. How do you know how much is going on? What social circles are you hanging out in that you know all this?
Well, I just know that it's going on not necessarily in my circle, but you know what I'm saying? Google provides a lot of information. You know what I mean? So
the internet is the devil.
I'm telling you, it's something.
Yeah, I'm not Googling people hitting the horses.
Yeah, that's...
It's more than horses. It's random. It's dogs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay, see.
Okay,
yeah. All right,
I'm just not a participant. None of that, you know what I'm saying?
Glad,
but I mean, I...
I'm glad you're not a participant.
What?
Anyway, moving on.
I'm just saying, you have to know these things if you live in this world. It's going on. That's why I look at people funny sometimes, all the time. Because you never know.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, speaking of never knowing, I guess in Thailand, they have, you know how they had that planking and all that stuff going on? In Thailand, they have a red ant challenge where you put a bunch of fire ants in your underpants. And see how long you can take it.
Men, right? This is something men do, right?
Yeah, I don't think...
No, not doing... No, he said Thailand, so, you know, let's just, like, focus on the Asian man who's doing that. Not all men. Asian men.
I'm going to guess that it's a small percentage of people that do, because as somebody who's from the South, and I know what red fire ants are all about, you can't be fooling with them. They are quite vicious.
Yeah.
I'm going to go take me another shower, so I'll be back in 20 minutes, because this is just making my skin is...
Yeah, they mushroom call them.
So, they just dump them in their underpants?
Yeah, they dump... There's a video of it. Where this idiot is sitting up there, he's like dancing in the street, and he has his homies come up and put the fire ants in his drawers. And then what makes it bad is the fact that not only the fire ants in his drawers, but they're also the homies is brushing them off.
They brushing them off. I don't.
Yeah, they're brushing them off.
Because he's knocking them off him. Yeah, but
yeah. Off his penis.
Ew.
Yeah, no.
So Smooth. This week when you were looking for stuff for the show, is that just something you decided you wanted to talk about tonight? I mean,
that was a lack.
Every week you always pick one or two subjects that just really make me wonder. Like, okay, where are you? You know, why this topic?
Because it's funny.
Three four seven eight two six seven four three five.
That's just what it is. I'm like looking at it.
Somebody
like,
help me, please. Please, somebody call in, please.
Come on. It ain't that. I'm just saying. I saw the video. The video is hilarious because I'm like, I know red ants, and red ants are not your friends. Ever. And
that must be 100% comedy to see.
Oh, yeah, trust me. If y'all want to see something funny, the Red Ass Challenge, look that up. Because there are some idiots that are actually putting those vicious creatures next to their balls. It's like,
I mean, not even just your balls. I mean... Your asshole is right there. Like, can't they crawl in? Can't they go in y'all hole?
The sphincter.
Come on. See?
The sphincter.
I'm saying, yeah, that. It's, that's, that's.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm never going to Thailand.
I mean, you can go. You just don't scratch the challenge.
I don't want to be around that type of people.
You think it's just everybody in the street putting red ants?
I don't know.
I think Thailand is famous for their unique tourism.
As in
pedophile tourism.
Oh yeah, see, that's number two, not reason not to go.
Yeah,
see, that's information only. You know, come on, why? Is there anything else we, you know, what else, you know, let's just move right along, because right now I'm just like, okay.
What? You scared of that? Look, it's the truth. I ain't make it up. That's what it is.
I didn't know. No, I'm just like, okay. So it went from talking about, you know, people who put ants in their pants to Thailand being a hot spot for pedophiles.
Because it is.
The conversation goes where the conversation goes.
Thank you, Ms. Drama.
We don't have any control.
And this coming from the woman that knows the difference between a bullet wound from a 22 and a 40 caliber gun. So,
hey, look, I'm both with Ms. Drama in the zombie apocalypse. That's what I know. We gonna get out.
I hope.
On that note, you know what? We gonna go on break before Miss Imani Wisdom comes on. This is my homie Radio Galaxy from their album We Come in Peace, Field Trip.
Go Warriors.
together you got smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was the homies, Radio Galaxy, Field Trip. Speaking of Field Trip, I think my homegirl is on the line here. What's up, cousin? Welcome back to Smooth Drama. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you been?
Good. Everything is going okay. The writing, other projects, everything's going well.
All right. Well, now I seen you went in a little different direction or expanded your horizons with Pink Noir. Yeah, I say it
yeah.
right. All right. So
yeah,
you want to talk
mm-hmm.
about that?
Yeah, I just expanded my brand to my blog. I've been interviewing artists, just giving them the light to shine. Didn't want to make it all about myself because, it's just a whole bunch of a network of us, and success is not driven alone. So
right.
it takes almost, yeah, it just takes like a collective effort to be successful. So I decided to expand my brand, just make my blog more inviting, interview every week authors or artists or like anyone with creative works. They are free to come on my blog and
okay.
then we'll just talk. Mhm.
So what made you want to do that?
As I said, it just felt like I was making it about myself, even though yes, I have created my own work. My own product, my book, I had to sell myself and promote. But it just seemed that I was just making it just totally about me. And instead, you know, there are other authors that I've been networking with since I've been on this journey. And they too deserve to have attention on their work because they're talented.
So
I just decided to do that. And then plus, you know, I just want to take my mind off of like my up and down journeys with this writing thing and just shift my focus on other people. So, you know, I don't want to block my blessings. So, you know, if anyone, I'd like to see anyone succeed. So my time will eventually come. So, you know, it's just the road is big enough for everybody.
So basically, Imani, hi, this is Mr. J, and I'm on your website now and
mm-hmm.
just, you know, looking around at the, you know, what you have to offer. So basically what you've done is instead of, you know, self-promoting yourself, which is always a good thing, you've opened it up
mm-hmm.
and you're reaching back and you're pulling others along, you
yeah.
know, and trying to
mm-hmm.
help them out as well. Okay,
yeah.
I did have one question, though, regarding your writing.
Yeah.
When did you first know that this is what you wanted to do, and how long have you been doing it? Was there any, like, formal training, or is it just something you picked up and, you know, you just had that knack for it?
The particular story that I have right now on the market is called Zion's Road. That story has been on me since I was a little girl. It was just, I always had an active imagination. And I just didn't know how to transfer that imagination on paper for years. And between that, I started to write short stories. No, I wrote my first song at 8. And then it changed to
okay.
short story. Well, the poetry and then the short stories. And in my late 30s is when I decided to get that story out of my head. So it was years when I had
mm-hmm.
that particular story. But I also was inspired with other events that was going on during that time because I wrote it in 2006. So
okay.
I just put everything together and I just created the story. It is, as an ebook, it's 50 pages long. So, but I
okay.
do have I do have a prequel to that story. It's also on my website. It's called The Journey
mm-hmm.
of
Lucy
Bell. Yeah.
Looking at it now. Okay.
And it is, that is my baby, but right now, because I prefer to self-publish, it's just, you know, it just takes time for me to, you know, to pay off the people who I have to pay off before I get my file to get published.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, so pretty much for a point, last year I was really depressed, and I was, you know, which it was wrong, but I, you know, had this bitter attitude toward other people who, you know, was talking about their success. And I said, why not me? Because I worked hard, too. So
well,
I just, that's why I shifted my focus from myself to them. So, but everything,
if I may interject there, I mean, as an independent publisher myself, I understand
mm-hmm.
how hard it is to get out there, especially when you talk about
being able
to publish.
Mm-hmm.
There's capital that you have to raise, and you're fronting
mm-hmm.
your own money up front. That way you can get paid in the back and receive all of the
mm-hmm.
money as opposed to the other way around.
Exactly. And you know, it's funny that you said that, because it seemed like that authors, self-published authors, are the only entrepreneurs that would create a product first with no money.
Right.
And then, you know, they we're doing everything backwards compared to the traditional entrepreneur, where they try to raise the capital before they set forth their dream.
I would say that in deference to it, there are some people who get advances, whatnot, but then you look
mm-hmm.
at some of the stories, like I think of Iceberg Slim, when you were talking about it, how he got $25,000, but he sold, like, 25 million books.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you also, I mean, to just interject on that, you also got to remember, if you're comparing that, and not to take away from her story, when he was doing this, you got to remember there was no internet, and even back then when he started doing this, there weren't that many black writers out there, especially writing what he was writing. Now, fast forward mm-hmm. that, what, like 50 years, almost 60 years later. With the advent of the internet and the way the whole publishing industry is going now, yeah, I mean, it's literally forcing people like her, yourself, and others to do their own thing, because they know that going to the big publishing houses is not always going to guarantee you that, you know, whatever type of pay that you're looking for.
Well, I think Miss Sophia Stewart, who wrote The Third Eye and got The Matrix and Terminator stolen from her,
mm-hmm.
would agree in saying that you never want to give your script to the big studio.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Now, I know you have a book that you're working on. You want to talk about a little bit about that? You want to spring a little something on us and tell us where you're going, your next direction writing-wise?
As of right now, well, I have three different stories in my head, and I'm the type that just has to get it out. I don't do outlines. Sometimes I take notes, but I'm not an outline person. My thing is I just start writing. That's what I did for my book that I have out now. I just start writing it. So, and the same thing with The Journey of Ruthie Bell. I just start writing. So this one I'm working on is part of the series of the Zion's Road series.
Okay.
So I have written 12, this would be the 12th manuscript that I'm working on. That's not including the short stories that I've written. So, I, you know, when it comes, I write. So, but this one, it's, how can I say this without giving too much away?
We want you to give something away.
Well, I don't want to give too much away because it's not finished. But it's if you read Zion's Road, or if you will read it someday, it's pretty much about a man's redemption. Zion's Road is about a former Klansman. And then people have asked me, why would I write a former Klansman in the first person? And I say, why not? He is the most. He is the non-perfect character, perfect character, about redemption.
Right.
So originally I had it written in third person, but I changed it to first person and it worked. And that's about him. This person I'm writing is almost totally opposite from Harold. So,
well, I want to go back to that because it's something that I always think about and talk about when you talk about you're writing a Klansman in the first person. And I think if we make a psychological comparison to black folks after integration, and you could say we've all been Klansmen at one point in time if we've integrated and took in the mindset of the dominant culture.
I never thought of that. How I created his, as I said, this character was been in my head since I was probably 7 or 8 years old. My family, my mom's birthplace is Pulaski, Tennessee. That was the birthplace of the Klan.
Right.
That's, yeah, that's the birthplace, yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh, so, birthplace of the Klan.
That's my point.
When you go down there, it's not like that you see Klan marches like that. It's just like the town is, that part that I go in is very diverse. So, but I have, like, heard stories from my grandmother. It's just stories that I grew up with. So it's, I don't know, that character has always been with me, but initially when I had it in third person, it worked too, but it was more powerful when I changed it to first person. And I have to admit, some parts I was uncomfortable writing it. But I have to be real about it. Because, you know, I couldn't be politically correct if he was a former Klansman.
Right.
Now, he only said the N-word once. I did that on purpose. It was a reason that he stopped saying the N-word, which that I definitely can't give that away. But he, in
what?
The book, it once. He said it once.
Oh. I read the book. So I've read the book, but I'm saying you're not gonna throw us a bone. I mean, the listeners, just not.
No.
Well, you know,
I'll say one day he was in the town with his friends, and he had his very best friend of his who is black, and his little group of white friends was saying disparaging remarks about this other person. And they all, you know, was taking their shots at this person. And they looked at him expecting to, you know, call her N-word too. And he did. And she, you know, she was devastated. And he said that he swore he would never say the N-word again. Even though he was a former Klansman and he had these certain beliefs, but you know, racism, well, I say hatred is a learned behavior. So that's also in the book, too. So it's a very, very short story, but it packs a punch.
All right.
I'm like,
we want to pack a punch. And I think I'm going to speak for Ms. Drama here. She want to know what's up with your eroticism, your erotica writing.
Okay, that one I completed a short story last year, and I stopped for a while because, you know, I just felt guilty of writing erotica, even though that I can, you know, I'm a Christian. Yes, I stopped for a while.
I felt guilty.
I did. I felt guilty of writing it.
Why?
Well, because, you know, I was just trying to find the right path, you know, being a Christian. But, you know, I am not one of those people that look down on other people who chooses to write it. Because I do write it, and I'm thinking, and I do have another story in my head with this series that I've written last year. So I have three different series, and one of them is an erotic thriller. And I have another one that I'm going to write after when I finish this one. It's going to be a short story, about 50 pages long, and that one would be an erotic psychological thriller. So I am going to write it. That's the decision I come to lately. I was just telling a friend today, but it's going to be under another name.
All right.
So I'm going to go ahead and write
name.
It.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
A pseudo name. Okay.
So you're not gonna feel guilty if you're writing under a pseudo name?
No. it was two different reasons besides the guilt, in which I'm not the only erotic writer that tends to feel guilty, you know, because I've been speaking with other writers and they kind of have similar feelings too. But
we're all human.
But
to get religious, but if you look in the Bible, it's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
sex is all in the Bible.
Right.
Yeah, sex is all in the Bible. So, I mean,
exactly.
That's
so
what really
only
the
writing
issue.
About...
It was...
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was saying that sex is all in the Bible. Like, if you... it was one book in there that was, I can't get off, I think it is Solomon? Songs of
Solomon.
Yes. And I read that book, that particular book in the Bible. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, it's intense. It's very poetic, but it's intense. So, but sex is all in the Bible. So, I mean, that wasn't particularly an issue. It was just an issue that I was just trying to find a path of changing my lifestyle because I was wild back in the day. So, so that's why I felt that guilt. Now, my sister, who was a very devout Christian, she made a good point. She said, well, what you should be looking at it as is just a job.
Exactly.
She said, just look at it as a job. Don't even think about, you know, like you're breaking vows or anything like that. She said, just look at it as a job.
That's what I'm looking at it as,
my business.
Just remember, at the end of the day, ye without sin cast the first stone.
Well, I'm not even going that deep. I was just going to say that if you want to look at it objectively, you could talk about some things that you may have thought or some things you may have heard of, and you put it out there in writing because it's reality. I mean, you talk about erotica, people have those thoughts. And so you're just expressing what people have already thought and going to think anyway.
And you're putting it on paper, black and white, for others to read about. It's not about what your personal beliefs are. It's not about what how you feel. You're just writing thoughts. And more than likely, there's going to be somebody out there that can relate to what you put on paper.
Yes.
And you shouldn't feel bad for that.
Mr. J wants to he wants to sign up and star in the Lifetime.
I mean, if you need help writing that, all you got to do is just email me here at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. And trust me.
So tell the people where they can find you at, Ms. Wisdom.
They can find me on Twitter at Amani_Wisdom. They can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/AmaniWisdom. They can find me on Google, and it's still the same thing, /AmaniWisdom. So, and my website is www.AmaniWisdom.com. So I'm pretty much everywhere.
And if they can't find you there, they can also check out the actual website,
the
official website, pinknoir.com.
It's
showing up on my site,
It's really Pink New York pinknoir.blogspot.com. So that's
it is.
So it's either or. You can find me at that one or at my official website, AmaniWisdom.com.
All right. Well, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on. And, of course, if y'all haven't read some of her stuff, please do, because it is great reading.
Yes, please do.
So once again, thank you for coming on, and as always, look forward to having you back, and I'll be hitting you up again. And
thank you for inviting me.
Always, and of course, when you do the erotic thriller, you know, if you need like some extras on that.
This one that I'm writing next, it's going to be a more of a dark erotic thriller. So
they can do that. They already halfway there.
Yeah. Oh, don't let Miss Drama sleep on the low like she don't want to be down. Pretend. But once again, thank you for coming on. And when you're done, holla at us. You know, come back
okay,
on.
Okay, I will.
Got it.
All right.
All right.
Well, it's nice talking to you. You take care.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. That was my homie, homegirl, my cousin, Miss Imani Wisdom.
You got a lot of family. Everybody's your cousin.
Hey, you know, Indianapolis, cousin. That's my cousin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, in the nap, huh? In the nap.
In the nap town. Eroticism. Y'all should read her stuff. She's got some great stuff.
Well, you know, I could help her out if she's really serious about that, but you know.
I know you are.
But speaking of helping out, you know, just don't forget, you know, pictures can be sent down to smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. We're still trying to get that calendar off, you know, so send those pictures in, you know.
A calendar.
Yeah, see, you've been away. We're doing a calendar.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And you may ask, well, what kind of calendar is it, Mr. J? Well, we were going to start off with just, you know, a calendar for the guys, but why be that way? We're going to open it up to both ladies and the men.
Okay.
Now, before everybody starts, oh, here he go.
Yeah.
On the reel. All you have to do, you know, all you have to do is submit your picture.
Send them pictures.
You know, we prefer you to be at least 25 years of age and older. We're not even, you know, tripping over, you know, however you feel comfortable sending that picture in, send it in.
No,
but we're looking
no. It needs to be some guidelines.
Well, I mean.
Give up the guidelines, Ms. Droppel.
I mean,
now see, she been going on. Now she come back. Now she wants guidelines. See before.
No, it needs to be some guidelines.
What are the guidelines?
You talking about send your pictures however you comfortable, bro? That's a wide array.
Well, but no, I didn't say that everybody's picture would get in. We would still have to decide which pictures.
I mean,
you know,
but even to have to somebody has to go through that stuff. I'm just trying to look out for them.
Somebody
oh
yeah, we gonna send them all to you, Ms. Drama. You're gonna be the one
Yeah, but see, she'll have an 18-month calendar with nothing but dudes in it. Maybe
yeah.
A few chicks. See, the way I was going to do it, it was going to be, you know, guys and girls.
In the same calendar?
Mm-hmm. Well, two or put out two.
I mean, I think that's what you'd have to do.
Yeah, so you deal with your calendar, and let me and Smooth deal with our calendar.
Oh,
yeah.
Either way, folks, you know, just email those pictures in, guys and girls, you know. We're dead serious. Y'all think we're playing about this, but we're dead serious. We're going to put a calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so please send your pictures and please be serious in your responses.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, send them to Ms. Drama and...
See, y'all, here y'all go with the comedy.
I'm trying to be serious.
Oh,
send the,
and I
send the pictures.
We're being serious.
Send the pictures to, yes, send the pictures to
okay.
smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com.
Yeah, don't let me get in the way of y'all seriousness.
You know, send the pictures there. Now, just remember that they are, you know, they will be property of, you know, Smooth Drama. But,
right,
you know,
and
we're,
they will. They
once we receive your picture... Once we receive the picture, we will send you a release form to sign and email back to us.
All right. Well, you know what?
He ain't happy about this because he already sees it's beyond his control. But
oh, hey, I don't even care. I'm doing this right here. This is for Miss Drama right here.
What?
We had a conversation a while back on the show where you talking about there's a difference between sex dolls and toys. Yeah. And there's a sex doll that will have an intelligent conversation with you now.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay. All right, well, actually, we can't do that because we don't...
Better have an intelligent conversation that can go with you, like, not like a very intelligent conversation, I hope you're not talking about. Bruh, hold on.
Now, we
so they got a plastic bitch. They trying to replace bitches? No, I'm trying to figure out what's really going on.
I'm going to tell you what's really going on. Matt McMullen, who is the inventor behind Real Doll, he's promising sex dolls with artificial intelligence and not can just substitute the body, but the mind also. And for $5,000 to $10,000, you can go it on and develop your artificial intelligence.
They trying to replace bitches. I'm hella mad.
All right. Well, not everybody likes bitches.
But if you buying a bitch just as a programmer to what you wanted to be, you like if bitches.
If it comes down to real versus fake, nah, give me the real.
I mean,
because you know, at the end of the day, you want somebody that's true, not an automatic response that's been pre-programmed. You want something that's going to be real and, you know, natural. You want a natural response. Yeah, you want somebody that's actually going to actually get up. You want somebody that's going to get up and go, you know, make a sandwich.
Right.
First and foremost, really.
Bring you lunch to work. She can't do none of that little thing.
Oh, that's the stuff you do, Ms. Drama?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Who, me?
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't be talking about it if you ain't going to be about it.
Yes, exactly. I can, because in a normal type situation.
No, like, I sense some hesitation there.
First of all, you know I'm single, so who am I taking lunch? If I'm single, who the hell am I about to be taking lunch to?
Hey,
anybody.
You was hesitating.
No, I mean, I'm like this real
type of
single.
She don't want to put it out there. She ain't trying to put it out there.
I'm that real type of single. Like, I ain't dating, I'm that real deal.
Well, so then maybe this doll is what, you know, maybe this doll is for you. The male version.
You're right. See, cause just
the
like,
male version? No.
Yeah, the male version. You know, like
somebody
the one,
to argue with.
Like the one you got in the drawer? The male version.
Bob? You talking about Bob?
Yeah, good old Bob.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Uh-huh.
You know what? This has reached way beyond.
No, it ain't reached way beyond.
Yes, it has, because I would never want the fake. No, you're saying like it's Billy Bob. So you said that damn dildo is not a whole person. It's the only part of that I need. When you make that build, that whole doll, the arms, the legs, the feet, the toes, the hair, blood, that's, I mean, I didn't mean to say that, but that's doing way too much.
Why do y'all use that? I mean, if you really want the real, then why do you use the, you know?
Right. Neither one of them.
Because at that point, that's the only at a moment.
Your
that's
stutter?
The only part you need.
Neither one are real. Neither one are real.
But it's better to just have the little what you call it, you know.
I don't know what the little what.
Then to me having if I have a whole big plastic.
Please call in and help her.
You have to explain that to people. How am I going to explain that to people when they come over?
I think they already know. You don't have to explain to people.
I would have to explain it if it was a whole big plastic man sitting here. Yeah, you would have to explain that.
Not really.
Someone's going to see that.
Okay. So everybody sees the part that you only need?
No, that goes in the drawer.
Uh-huh.
That goes tucked away in the little tuck away in the pillowcase.
Why you gotta hide it? Why you gotta hide it away?
Because that's what you do with things like that.
Why?
Okay, you know.
It sounds like you're a little ashamed or a little embarrassed over there.
No, I'm not.
It's like you bring it out when it's convenient.
I think y'all playing because you have to understand logically what I am saying.
Ain't nobody playing. I brought it up because we had the same conversation. You was like, yeah, but you know, it's different.
It's different.
Okay, you trying to replace a man with that.
No, never. That's what I'm saying. I would never do that. I would only want the real. But you know, in that quick little moment,
that little moment is
okay.
All right. You know, so for the guy, that doll is okay.
No. That's a violation.
If you say so. I mean, no.
That's a violation.
You know what?
Flag on the play.
Case adjourned. We find in the favor of the plaintiff, whoever you're supposed to be, you win. Okay.
No.
You win.
It's never okay. I mean, I don't understand.
Smooth has spoken. So
no, but Smooth, you know, okay. We normally agree on things like this, but I'm just gonna put it out there like this. I don't understand why any man would need the necessity to go out and get the fake when, you know, you can have the real. I just don't understand it.
Well, look, if we talking about me, I don't understand any of that industry. One, the fake doll. I don't understand.
Clearly, it's making plenty of money.
Well, yeah, I don't understand prostitution. I don't understand it.
No, wait, but now you're going in the left. That's totally something different.
No, it's the same thing.
No, because even if it's prostitution, you're dealing with a human being. You're dealing with a human being,
the
a
real
person.
Thing.
We're talking about we're talking about something that's artificial as opposed to something that's real.
Well, I could technically say that
prostitution robotic pussy
is psychologically robotic. And artificial.
Well, even obviously now you're getting too deep. We're just talking about the simple fact that is, you know, some people prefer a human being as opposed to an object.
Okay, well, I had a guest, Trent Arsenault, on here. He don't even really believe in having sex with women, but he donates his sperm. He's got all kinds of babies here in the Bay Area. He believes.
But he doesn't have sex with women. He's gay.
No, he just believes in jacking off only. Bam.
Well, that's a mental issue there. That's something that has to do with him, you know, mentally. That's what it comes down to.
Hey, he's giving life. He's trying to Genghis Khan. He want to have all kinds of kids in the area.
Okay, I'm not knocking that. But going back to the original point of the story, we were talking about the doll versus the human, right?
Something like that.
And basically, you're saying what? That it's okay to, you know, you're behind that idea or what?
Yeah, he okay. You heard him.
No. Hold on. I just brought it up because I said there's no difference between the two because neither are human.
Between what two? We were comparing machine or we were comparing the doll to a human.
No.
You were comparing the whole doll to opposed to like just a dildo.
Right.
Well, unless you're gay, I don't know too many dudes that's using, you know, that. So, okay, I see your point.
Let's just say a pocket pussy.
Right.
A pocket pussy.
I don't know what those are because I don't deal with
that little
with
thing.
Have never used one.
Yeah.
Don't find the need for one.
Right, but the point is, neither are human. Comparing human and non-human, and comparing non-human and non-human, I'm like, I don't see the difference, but...
347-826-7435, why don't y'all chime in on this? Somebody call and give us your point of view.
All right, well, on that note, we gonna take a break here, because we ain't getting nowhere.
Because you don't want to admit I'm right. As soon as you do that, it's like...
Yeah, as soon as I do that, hell is freezing over.
Woo!
That's what happened. This is Dean Gray. Don't...
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
NAACP.
My white vanilla queen. Is you talking about her?
She's a pretty woman and she has hair like black people.
She got game like black people is what she got.
Nah, she, you know, she just, I get on one hand, I'll give her credit for being as bold for doing what she did, but then I'm going to take that credit back because it, on her ride or her journey doing what she's doing, did she ever take an account to think about all the sisters out there, light skin, dark skin, good hair, bad hair, who had to deal with, you know, who deal with the daily struggles of being a black woman? I'm not even talking about just black people. I'm talking about black women because this, in a sense, kind of affects them because of the gender more than it affects us as black men. So, but did she ever think about that? I mean, then, you know, let's go all the way back to years ago when she went to an HBCU.
You know,
she went to, you know, Howard, a historically black, you know, university, you know, one of the top schools, I don't care, black or white, in the country. and got that education, you know, majored in African studies or whatever.
African studies.
Yeah, you know, now I have no problem with that because I, you know, I mean, she's not the first to do that. There are many white professors on many college campuses that teach African studies.
My teacher was white. I wouldn't even be worried about that.
Even if she had come out, even if the story had broke that, you know, she, you know, oh my God, you know, newsflash, the Spokane chapter has a white woman heading its chapter. I wouldn't have not tripped because I know the history of the NAACP. But for her to be, but right, but for her, shut up. But for her to be, you know, the as many videos and things that they put out there about her, and she's going around, you know, one video telling black women how they should wear their hair and telling this black person that you're not black enough, and then get caught up, you know, like a deer in headlights when a reporter comes at her, a reporter comes at her and asks her, are you African American? Now she's all of a sudden like, what?
When he asked her, she was like, I don't understand the question. Like, now we want to be stupid about it. Like, now you're going to play us like we stupid and everything else. Like, you don't got away with this for a long time. And, like, not just saying she's black, like, really trying to play that whole role, you know, like, and that's crazy. But I know I got white girls. I grew up with friends. They braided their hair. They tan their skin. That's what they do. But not one of them, except for this one girl, ever claimed that, you know what I'm saying, outright that they were black. And that's what I have a problem with. Like,
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, she's getting her 15, I mean, you know, she's going to get her 15 minutes of fame. And now that she, you know, made this big thing about, like Monday, yesterday, she, you know, she stepped down as the president, you know, of the organization for that chapter. But at the same time, she's over in New York giving Matt Lauer the exclusive, and now she's in town shopping a deal for a reality show.
Well,
this is the world we live in now, because she knows that without this, she's not going to be able to make money.
Right.
You know,
it only matters if you watch it. I mean, if you want to watch her because she has hair, I guess.
In all honesty, I'm going to watch it. You know what I mean? Just to be for real about it, I'm going to watch it. Because like you said, she hella bold for that.
I would.
She has to know that was not going to go on forever.
So you're going to support that?
I'll support the boldness, the confidence. You know what I mean? Like you really pulled it off for a little bit.
Okay.
I have to respect that.
I don't.
Not a thing. Like, I mean, I'm not like purposely going to be looking for it to come on TV, but you know, I mean, it would be interesting to see how they're going to portray her on TV.
They need to call it Rachel.
Right. If anything, I want to know is like, number one, what went on in your, you know, early years for you to even come to the point where you just decided that I'm just going to disown my European culture and
everything.
Yeah, like what brought all that on? I mean, from this point on, I mean, whatever show she's going to, whether it lasts a season or whatever, she's going to make money. But the reality is, maybe a year from now, ain't nobody going to, you know, I mean, she's going to be a blip on the screen. You know, she's got to do what she's got to do now because she knows it's going to be that much harder for her as a white woman trying to be black to find another job.
And as a
So she's got to make all her money now. Yeah, she's got to make all her money now.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that all she has to do is just, like, let her hair straighten out, and she'll get a job tomorrow.
Her hair was already straight. All that stuff she got in her hair now is number weave.
Okay. It's weave, right.
Right. So my point
same
is,
as me.
If she get rid of the hair, she'd
have been in. No, because I mean, if you look at it, even the pictures, and those aren't like Photoshop pictures, you can tell she's been tanning for a while now because her skin is even.
But some of those you can get that stuff sprayed on. I had many a coworker back in the day who they come in looking like they from Utah and then come back at lunch looking like. So, yeah. That's not a big deal.
But she's going to have to change more to her hair. She'll have to change her name, and then maybe she can fit back into white people's society or whatever. But if she keeps that name, it's that name is tainted.
But, But wait a minute. Here's the thing that nobody's even talking about. You know that, you know, her parents had actually adopted, you know, four black children, right? Mm-hmm. Not, I mean, I could care less about that. That is what it is, you know. I mean, they're gonna be out there in Montana listening to country music, eating buffalo meat and all that. I mean, you know, that is what it is.
What's wrong with buffalo meat?
Nothing. I mean, if that's what you went to.
Buffalo meat, like this.
Well, I'm just saying, because that's what's roaming out there in Montana. It's a big, there's, you know, there's buffalo out there. Okay. My point is, don't.
Buffalo are extinct.
All right. You know what?
My point, my point was this. You do realize that she, you know, she went so far. You know, I mean, I don't have anything against interracial dating, but I don't know if that's her husband, but her man is a black dude.
That's her husband.
Yeah, he really black. For real.
You know?
Okay.
And I'm just like, okay, all this time, you know, she's been going around telling black people that she's black. And I know he knows she's white. He was living that lie, too.
I mean,
I don't think that he cared. I don't think that she was.
No, he was just into white women. That's his whole thing.
Okay, I don't think that she was telling him that she was black. That was everybody else.
Right. No, but what I'm saying is, in the years that he's been with her,
right,
you cannot. She's been going around telling people or living this life as if she's like a fair skinned black woman. Now, granted, there's a lot of white folks out there that can't really tell the difference. But, you know, come on now. I'm just saying, come on.
Okay.
You know, just come on. Dang. But anyway, I'm done with it because it ain't putting no paper in my pocket. It ain't making me any richer. If anything, it's just more there'd be more jokes about this in the days to come. That's all.
Them jokes, oh, my God, they are so funny. You hear me?
Facebook, you know, I mean, and this is nothing but more of a distraction from what's really going on out there.
Right. I'm like, somebody's getting killed.
This whole week, we went a whole week with no black boys or black girls got shot. It wasn't reported in the news.
Right.
You know, only thing that's been going on is like was last week with that white cop who basically manhandled that girl in Texas. But even that's starting to die down.
You know what? But I got something for you a little bit later. I had something for Ms. Drama. I got something for you, Mr. J. You know,
if it ain't a check with a lot of zeros and commas, I don't want it. No, let me stop.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to you anyway. But before we get there, Darren Sharper, you know, he pled guilty to rape to...
He needs to be under the jail. What about him?
Yeah, I'm like... He had 9 different women that he did this to. I don't know if people know what he did, but
he raped women. Yeah,
he was giving them the rape drugs, Xanax, Ambien, Valium, and I'm like, you was Darren Sharper, and
doesn't matter.
Yeah, but
wait a minute, is that an athlete?
Yep, he was a football.
Yeah, he played football player.
He plays now.
No. No, he's retired. And the thing is about him is, for a guy, he looked okay. He wasn't an ugly guy. So I don't quite understand why he felt the need to date, rape, drug women to have them to have sex with him.
They wasn't having sex with him. He was having sex with them.
Yeah.
Let me just clarify that.
Yeah, there's a difference, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got no comment on that whole situation because my thing is you raped a woman you didn't have to. If even whether she was raped or, you know, unconscious or conscious or whatever, gave you consent, the moment, well, not gave consent, but the moment she says no, you stop.
Right. I don't think they had the chance to say no.
Well, right. I mean, obviously he drugged them, but I want to just switch gears for a moment and talk about something even more moronic. That's my new word. You know, look it up.
Moronic. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, your boy down there in Houston. What's his name? The center. What's his name? What's his face? He used to play with Orlando.
Dwight Howard.
Yeah, 9 baby mamas.
That's not That's
no. And now when one of them is screaming, okay, you know, because he got this big contract with Houston. So I guess for her, I'm just talking about for her, $10,000 a month wasn't enough. She needs more.
Okay. What's unusual about that?
I'm so through with these dudes. It's like, for real?
That's not, I mean, you never heard of Sean Kemp?
Well, yeah, I mean, Sean Kemp, there's plenty of others out there, but, you know.
Trying to hold a few.
I'm just saying, as a black man, you know, it's like, no self-control. You get all this money. Yeah, granted, money make you do stupid things, but the reality is, even as a sports, you know, as an athlete, it's not like you're getting a check every week or every 2 weeks. Your money, your contracts are based on incentives. You know, even if you get in the bare minimum, let's say $3 million a year without incentives, you know, I'm just looking at it from the financial. I'm not even talking about just the fact that he went out and got 9 different women pregnant. Now he got 9 kids who are going to go, you know, going to deal with that the rest of their life.
Hey,
I mean, what does that just say? What did that say about him as a man?
Well,
as a black
first and foremost, he's trying to restock the black race.
Come on now, for real. Come on, for real.
I'm saying.
For real.
Look, I mean, athletes making dumb decisions.
Miss Drama, you are.
What you want?
Miss Drama, you are. And that's exactly my point. Wait a minute. You say he never went. Oh, right. He just came out straight from high school. So did LeBron. LeBron. And I'm not saying, you know, he's the mold or whatever you should follow. But LeBron came out of high school.
Right.
You don't hear about LeBron with all these. You know, he's got kids by one woman.
First and foremost, there's a big difference between him and LeBron, because LeBron is the product of a crack mother. So he had to be the guy, had to be responsible for all that. It's a psychological thing when you had to be in charge, and trust was a big issue with LeBron. You can see.
So you're giving Dwight a pass because his mother wasn't a crackhead?
No. I'm not.
He wasn't.
Yeah, I'm not giving Dwight a pass. I'm saying when you brought LeBron James in, they are two different.
I was just using it because you mentioned he came straight from high school into pro ball.
Right.
I'm saying there's been a Kobe came from high school to pro ball. There's been a lot of players along the way that came from high school that you don't
hear.
Kobe's
not the prime example. He's no example.
Right, but no, my point is this. Whether you did high school, whether you had college, whether you graduated college, I'm just saying as a pro athlete, as a black pro athlete, I mean, come on now. You know, that's nothing to be proud of. And yet, you know, I'm not trying to take away from the money he makes, but yet at the same time, you wonder why a lot of these younger black men out
right,
here, younger kids, are idolizing these
people. On the money. It ain't about the money. What's
about the money for this woman who's taking, you know, one of his baby mamas?
Right.
$10,000. I mean, come on, you figure she's looking to up that $10,000 a month. That's $120,000. How many black folk do you know that, like, legitimately make that at a job?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to get
that job. You know how much it's worth to get that out of him?
Man, it probably took her all of, like, a couple of, you know, hey babes at the club, and then 20 minutes.
Bending over in front of him.
Right. I mean, it's drama. Ms. Drama, please elaborate to Mr. J how hard she worked to milk Dwight Howard.
Oh, come on. Now, it's not like I ain't been around, you know.
I'm just saying. She would work. You talk about it.
Wait a minute. Hold on. How do we know? How does Ms. Drama know this? Are you insinuating that she, you know?
No, I didn't insinuate that.
Okay, well.
That's not what I was insinuating.
He got close.
No, I'm just saying, think about it. You know, when you talk about groupies work really, really hard. You gotta stalk NBA players. You gotta know where they're gonna be. You know how many times she's been on her knees with doormen just so she can know exactly where NBA players gonna be?
Probably not even doing. Probably the valet park. You know, I got to park the car. Yeah.
No, you got to know there's team officials. You got to go through. There's a lot of work that she got to do. you're not even feeling the enormity of the stalking. I mean, because we talking about she going from state to state because she understands the groupie game. Because if she ain't on her J-O-B and she ain't breaking into that hotel in every stop, there's another girl that's sitting out in that lobby like, obviously, it's been
working. What are your thoughts?
What?
I mean, I feel, you know, I don't feel like groupies work hard.
They don't. They gotta go find the right outfit. Some of them are at the point now where they didn't, you know, exactly. If they, you know, they gotta, you know, they gotta get the surgically stuff done. They gotta get surgery done.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you talk about, I'm talking about the hard part. One, you gotta, once you get the young man's attention, you gotta keep it by any means necessary. That's hard work. Until you give birth to the check, that's a lot of work.
I guess. I mean, I've never.
I don't think it's a lot of work.
Okay, you don't think it's a lot of work, Ms. Drum?
I don't think it's a lot of work. You know,
not all of them can just like walk in the room and make everybody say, "Oh, I want to hit that." So, in other words, they have to put in a little extra work.
Put in a little extra effort.
Extra effort.
Well, okay.
You got to stand out. You got to stand out. Look, remember, there's a long line of groupies. You acting like in the hallway is like a whole bunch of 65-year-olds sitting up there with the tongue out. No. It's a bunch of them. They're at the game with no panties on. Sitting right behind the bench.
And the good tickets.
You go to the club, they sitting there, no panties on. Sitting right behind or in VIP.
Well, no, you talking about if they go, they ain't really, if they at the game, they can't really afford to be sitting. Not unless that player has already gave them like a pass to get in, you know, to the courtside seats. No, they sitting up a little, or they waiting out by the player entrance. That's where they waiting.
Once again, you underestimate.
I know females that have spent their last to be there.
Thank you.
That's just their stupidity. That just tells me that right then they have very low self-esteem. If you're willing to forego things and not pay for things just to be around some dude that really could care less about you, that don't say a lot about you.
Yeah, you're not understanding. That's hitting the lotto.
I do understand. Trust me. I know the game better than they do. But it's like, huh?
They playing the lotto.
But even in the lotto, only one person can win. And your odds are always against you.
Because the bitch that already won the game, the one he been fucking with since high school and college, and that knew he was going to go pro, that's where he's still going to be at.
Well, that's the one that took a chance and said, you know, I think, you know, he's got potential. Now, she stuck around all these years.
I know he got potential. I know ballers, they've been ballers since, you know what I mean? You knew the ones who stood out who was going to do it. They took your high school to championships. They was here.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying if there was that one girl that just, you know, stuck by his side through all his, you know, ups and downs and little things he did while she was with him, she was the one that's like, I'm, you know, I don't care what you do, it's still me, right? But I'm talking about the other chicks that come down the road later on, like the ones he may meet in college or wherever, and once he makes it to the pros, you know, I'm talking about those chicks that come along once he's got that level of stardom. You know, like, who said that, you know, like, what are you offering? What are you bringing to the table?
All right, I got a question for y'all. And since you're in the New York metropolitan area, this one pertains close to you also. So you and Ms. Drama, they voted that pole dances are tax exempt as an art form.
What the hell did that have to do with anything? But go ahead.
Oh, come on, I ain't done yet. But see, there's a difference because they said pole dances are exempt, but lap dances aren't.
Well,
what kind of shit is
pole
that?
I mean, well, number one, pole dancers don't necessarily have any contact with the customer. Lap dancers, you're touching them. So,
okay.
I guess they're taxing you on the fact that just Right. How would you? Wait a minute.
Hold on.
No, not necessarily.
My question is, which one do y'all think is an art form? Do you think
neither one?
Is the art form or pole dancing? And you don't think there's some artistic value to it?
There is to a certain extent, but the reality is, I mean, what's the end game to this? You're looking to get whatever's in his pocket, so you're going to do whatever you got to do to heighten that moment, to give him as much pleasure as you can without actually having any type of sex with him to get that money. Now, pole dancing honestly is a more physical because it's just you and a pole, and you're more acrobatic. If it's just a lap dance, it's whatever you can do within the parameters of, just rolling around all over his body. I mean, it don't take much to do that because most of the time you're in a sitting position.
Really? So you're saying there's no artistry to lap dancing?
Look, we could do a week's worth of shows on strip clubs and go-go clubs and all that, and I could tell you everything I know, but I'm just telling you, unless you want to get some strippers to call in, I'm telling you, there's more to a pole dance than there is to a lap dance.
Okay. I mean, but see, you're saying there's more to the pole dance than the lap dance?
Physicality, yes, because have you been to a club? Have you seen what these girls are doing on poles now?
No, I haven't.
You really need, there's a talent with it, because you're like 20 feet up in the air, flipping and spinning and doing all that.
The point is, neither one of these motherfuckers need to be taxed. If they get cash over cash all motherfucking day, pay them taxes whether you're on the pole or on his lap. You're still going to be on the pole. Bitch,
thank
all them
you.
Bitches is on poles. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing
well, yeah, I guess it depends on which pole
you're
talking about.
You know
about.
What I'm saying? They all on the same poles. What do you mean?
Well, I could care. If I got to pay tax, you got to pay tax. Yes, tax them. I don't
care. Yeah, shit. Tax their asses. I wouldn't give a fuck. Tax them by the pound. Shit. Pay your taxes. Ain't none of them exempt. What the fuck?
All right. Well, that question is answered. Now, this for Mr. J right here, but of course, Ms. Drama, you're involved in it. Mr. J is always talking about how keep hope alive. We want to hear something positive. I got something positive for you. A civil settlement was reached in the case of a 19-year-old black woman who was killed by a white homeowner on his porch in 2013.
Yeah, the girl that came looking for help. Yeah.
Renisha McBride, who is dead, her parents won the lawsuit. They were seeking $10 million, but they reached a settlement last Friday, and it's undisclosed, but...
Which means it's probably like maybe $2 or $3 million. That's all.
They were pleased with the settlement. Now, my issue... and I know this is your happy ever after scenario, whatnot. Yeah, we won, but...
No, not necessarily, because their daughter's gone. There's no win.
That's what I'm saying. So, they talking about they're happy with the settlement. I'm like, yeah.
But wait a minute, you're reading, wherever you're reading that from, you got to take into context who wrote the article.
Okay.
That's his opinion that they're, They're probably happy that the case is over so that they don't have to deal with that anymore. The money, the money's probably more than likely going to come in handy, but they're not happy because their daughter's dead, bottom line. The little, whatever money that they're getting, in no way possible, it may change their lives. They may buy a bigger house and be able to do nice things with it. It's not bringing back their daughter.
Well,
it's never going to bring back. It's never going to change that factor.
Well, hold on. We had the conversation where you was like, yeah, but sometimes those settlements, the civil settlement, that matters. And I'm like, well, hey, she ain't coming back. He ain't coming back. So, you can get all the money in the world, but your kid's gone. So it's like, yeah, I got money. I'm comfortable. But my kid is gone.
Right. But it's like
I'm kind of missing your point, but go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, that was one of those quote unquote wins.
Well, I mean, but it's not even a moral win. It's just a financial win. And, you know, who knows? I mean, more than likely, that money is coming from whatever insurance he has on his house, his homeowner's insurance or whatever. It's coming, and a lot of it's probably coming from some state fund that, you know, most people aren't even aware of.
But
you
it doesn't matter where the money comes from.
Exactly. Is the man going to jail? Is the man going to jail?
No.
Mm.
He was
okay.
So he was already convicted.
Right. So he's in just like, and I know we don't have much time, but it's just like that that dude in Florida who shot the boy. You know, him and his friends were in the car listening to rap music. You know, and they convicted him and they found him guilty. My point is, yeah, I mean, they're victories when they're found guilty, but it, you know, in the bigger scope of things, it should have never gotten to those points.
Right.
But, you know, I guess, yeah, this is the other side of, you know, Mr. J coming out. You notice you always hear these stories about white men with their guns afraid of a black, you know, teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And before they even ask or try to figure out what's going on, they quick to pull that trigger.
Well, once again, as I've always stated, we know that will never change. I just think it's always unfortunate that you have a situation where, yeah, you'll win a civil suit, kids not coming back. Obviously, I agree what you said. You shouldn't have people who are afraid of a black. You got the gun.
Right. Why are you afraid?
Why are you afraid? You got the bullets.
Well, just
that's
I mean,
a true coward.
Two minutes left, but even with you know, just I don't know if you remember, but years ago in L.A. when that black girl was killed by the Korean store owner, she didn't even do any time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we know what that is, what it's always been, what it always will be until we start valuing our own lives, which is what I was actually talking about when I touched on what Imani was talking about first story, because, you know, with the psychological racism that's been involved in our lives, we are telling a racist story to ourselves on a daily basis.
And on that note,
yeah, for Mr. J and Mr. Drama, I'm of course Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. Want to give a special shout out to my homegirl, my cousin Imani Wisdom, for coming on and blessing us. And, you know, as always, this is another Smooth Drama production. Gone very well. And
Mr. Drama, you coming back next week or what?
I'll be here.
All right.
All right, y'all. Remember, Bella, send those pictures and she's waiting. Send my pictures in too. I want some.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth.
Drama.